Welcome to MedEvidence, where we help you navigate the truth behind medical research with unbiased, evidence-proven facts, powered by Encore Research Group and hosted by cardiologist and top medical researcher, Dr. Michael Corrin.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Corrin, and this is Dr. Michael Bernhardt, and we're here for another session of Two Docs Talk. But in this case, we're in our second section. We established in our previous section that you are now fully potty trained.
I'm potty trained.
Our last talk was his first podcast, and this is now Michael's second podcast. And
I am much relieved.
He's used the facilities, and now we're here to talk about acne, but from the perspective of some of the clinical research work that we're about to embark on. And just for those of you out in the audience, Michael and I have worked together for a long time. Michael is a tremendous dermatologist. We've worked together in clinical trials for a number of years. And Michael is leading a project here in Jacksonville, which we are particularly excited about, which is using messenger RNA vaccine-type technology to treat acne. So why don't you help our audience understand first, why this is necessary. We talked a little bit about that on the last session, but to catch everybody up, and then why you're excited about this particular trial.
I think it's really cool. And the reason I think it's cool is that right now the state of the art in acne is topical medications, oral antibiotics, escalate to spironolactone, escalate to isotretinoin. All good drugs, but, you know, Bernhardt's first law of drugs, any drug can do anything to anyone at any time. Everybody's an independent variable. And I always tell patients that drugs are double-edged swords. They can help you, they can kill you. So we know there's side effects to all these things. There's morbidity. There's downtime. Mom has to take her little cherub to the dermatology office, which means she's got to leave work. He's got to leave football practice. They've got to come back. So there's a cost to it. And in time, there's an opportunity cost to the family, and there's a pharmacy cost. And there's morbidity to it. Acne can be very psychologically damaging to, and the study that was done out of Denmark about 10 years ago actually surprised me because it showed it was more psychologically damaging to teenage boys than to girls. And I would have thought the opposite. So acne can be very psychologically damaging. It can lead to things like depression, suicidal ideation. So it's not a benign or strictly cosmetic issue. Poorly controlled acne that can lead to scarring can have severe consequences to the patient. And my concern is I still think we're in the world of the 1980s and the 1990s in terms of our biotechnology for treating acne.
Right.
I would love to see us being able to do better. So the concept of having an MRA vaccine that's targeting specific particles of the Propionibacterium acnes bacteria, which is what we think is the pro-inflammatory trigger for people with acne, is really exciting. And in this study, what we're doing is we're looking at the usual people, you know, people over the age of 18, people that have significant comorbidities or conflicting comorbidities that would disallow from the study. Specifically, you know, people that are past Accutane patients would probably not qualify. And we're looking for people that have lesions that are approximately 20 to 25 inflammatory plus 20 to 25 non-inflammatory lesions. We're not looking
for
the big
system. Moderate acne, severe acne, or somewhere in between?
Yeah, it's cut moderate and severe. I mean, you know, someone who has 5 or 10 comedones is not, you know, severe enough to merit this. Just like in the real world.
In a typical clinical trial, somebody will actually count them to make sure people qualify, I would imagine.
We do. Yep. We'll be counting specifically. And there's a standardization of the criteria across the whole study. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be an arbitrary judgment. And we're looking for people that really need the help, just like in the real world. If someone came in with 3 or 4 pimples, I'm not going to be thinking about a vaccine. Just like if someone has 1 palm unit of psoriasis on their elbow, I'm not going to roll out one of the biologics.
Right. So if somebody comes to you and says, my prom night is in 5 days, can you help me with this study? The answer would probably be no.
No.
Okay.
No. Then it'll be a chemical peel. Right. Or light chemical peel. So the thinking with this is that we will inject people at day 8, re-inject them at day 56, follow them out for about 7-8 months. And we're looking to see at least what they call an IgA2 level reduction in terms of comedonal count or lesional count. And that will be our primary endpoint.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. So this is early phase research. So when we do research, we typically do it in what we call phases. Phase one being first in humans. Mm-hmm. Phase two being a period of time where we're trying to find the right dosage of whatever therapy that we're using. And then phase three being the broadest phase where we really get to the efficacy and safety of the product. So right now we're involved in...
This is a phase one, phase two combo.
Okay, so it's early phase, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's exciting. Gives people access to something that is pretty new. Mm-hmm. And this is using messenger RNA type technology, as I understand it.
Correct.
So there's lots of people that have had that at this point. We know with all the vaccine work that's been done. Yeah,
present company included.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So we know that messenger RNA is different than DNA products. I know people get that confused. Messenger RNA is really the messenger. It doesn't affect your genes. This is just the message between your genes and the parts of your body that make things happen. And we can now do things to allow our body to protect ourselves by sending the right message. Is that a fair way of describing it?
Correct. And that's, I'm glad you brought that out because that's a big misperception out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're excited to be part of that. And applying it to dermatology, is that new or is that something you've seen with other products?
I think this is the first thing that I've seen in my experience that we're approaching from a gene base. Now, there is a phase three for melanoma vaccine. Mm-hmm. In trials, but that's a different
cancer
ballpark,
yeah.
You know. But as far as general dermatology, yeah, this is the first vaccine-based treatment I've seen.
Okay. And so you started to talk a little bit about the advantages of this type of concept versus the, quote, 1980s, 1990s version of treatment of acne. So am I oversimplifying things by saying this can be a shot that keeps you free and clear for 6 months, eventually, or a year? What do you think?
Yeah, we're looking to see what the long term is going to be.
Yeah.
But I mean, my thinking is if two injections get you basically acne free,
mm-hmm. Okay.
What's the downside?
And how would that compare with antibiotics, for example? Or
Antibiotics are use it or lose it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to use it consistently, and 9 times out of 10, the minute you stop, within a week or two, you're back to square one. So that's mm-hmm. what I tell patients is this is a use it or lose it treadmill.
Right. Now, we do a lot of work in clinical trials here, and mm-hmm. obviously I've been very involved in it from a cardiovascular standpoint. Do you think there'll be any challenges getting people who have skin conditions to get involved in a clinical trial? What's your experience and perception?
Our experience has been, since we're targeting 18 and above, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a lot easier to get people in. I think that adolescence is tough because it's a family strain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the kids can't drive themselves. They've got school. They've got sports. Parents have to take off from work. But since we're targeting an older cohort, I don't think it'll be an issue.
Now, you've been a PI in other acne studies. Correct. That I'm aware of. And so tell us a little bit how the patients have perceived that. Do they enjoy the experience? Do they get things out of it that may not be apparent to the average listener?
I think they do. And it's helpful to be in a clinical format because it's a structured format. Mm-hmm. There's accountability. Mm-hmm. If you're not using the drug, we know it. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're non-compliant, we know it. And there's been studies. Steve Feldman out of Wake Forest did a great study about 10 years ago. We put a sensor chip in a bottle of tetracycline and found that 34% of people who would look him straight in the eye and say, I did everything you did, never even opened the bottle. So we know that compliance is a challenge, mm-hmm. particularly in the teenage population,
right.
Not out of malevolence on the part of the patient, just they're busy. They got a lot of other things going on. So again, two shots from a vaccine will be easier, I think, than having someone go through the 3 or 4 step ritual that we routinely prescribe, you know, for acne.
So there are huge compliance advantages potentially for something that uses this type of technology.
Absolutely. Yep. Two injections and you're done.
How about downsides? We always like to be balanced in these discussions. Can you think of any downside of this type of technology?
Risk of reaction to the injection, injection mm-hmm. site reactions, allergic reaction to the injection.
So that would be immediate. So, it's unlikely that this would happen. And we have actually a fair amount of experience from this from our COVID vaccines that use messenger RNA technology. It happens very, very infrequently, but not impossible that there's immediate reaction. But can you think of any?
They're looking at the pericarditis, mm-hmm. myocarditis in terms of whether that's going to be an issue with this vaccine. We don't expect it to be mm-hmm. Based on the technology and the fact that we're not using an agent that has a spike protein.
Right.
But they're looking at that. Mm-hmm. And that's an area of special interest to the group that's researching this. Mm-hmm.
Are there other technologies out there that you are aware of that are trying to treat patients with acne using newer concepts?
We're using red light therapy, mm-hmm. where you paint melphalan, which is a variant of one of the topical PDT mm-hmm. acids. You paint melphalan on, you let it sit for about 15, 20 minutes, mm-hmm. put the patient under red wavelength of light for 10 minutes per side. Mm-hmm. There was just an article that was published last month in the Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology out of China where they did that mm-hmm. weekly mm-hmm. and got a six-month clearance level that was similar to someone who'd been on isotretinoin.
Interesting.
So we've started doing that in our mm-hmm. clinic over in Tallahassee with patients also.
Interesting. Let's also just make sure that we're covering everything. You know, some of the questions we get, especially when we talk about this high-tech stuff, they say, well, aren't there simple things? I got an interesting question in my last presentation to a live audience at the local TV studio. And they said, well, can a supplement do all this? Like, why do we need all this expensive high-tech stuff? So let's answer that fairly. Can we just change your diet and the acne will go away? Or is there a supplement that make it go away?
If that worked, I wouldn't be seeing patients with it. Because everybody tries that before they come. You know, by the time they get to me, right? I'm ahead of a residency clinic, right? So by the time they get to me, they've seen the Minute Clinic. Mm-hmm. They've seen their primary care doctor. They've seen one of the other dermatologists in town. And then they're coming to us because mm-hmm. they're end stage.
Right.
So if any of this simple treatment worked, they wouldn't be coming to me. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So I guess the answer is in our population, no. Now, maybe there's a cohort out there that have done the simple things. They're better. I don't see it. That's great. In the population that we treat, the answer is no.
Okay. So I will leave it this final concept. So I loved the fact that you talked about that we're still kind of stuck in the 80s when it comes to acne treatment. And we talked about this a little bit before we got on the podcast, that we're both musicians that happen to love music from the 80s. So there's some good things from there that we'll keep on going back to, and there's other things that need to evolve and get to a more modern phase. And it doesn't mean that you throw away the old stuff, but there's certainly room for some of the new stuff.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. So with that in mind, Michael, thank you so much for being part of this. I learned a lot. Hopefully our audience learned something during the discussion. I'm sure they did. And you're always welcome back. And if there's anything we can do to support your very, very interesting research, please let us know.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for joining the MedEvidence Podcast. To learn more, head over to MedEvidence.com or subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform.